Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Read from verse 19. Therefore, my dear brothers, since we believe in what he has accomplished for us through the shedding of his blood, we have confidence to enter boldly into the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctuary of his heavenly presence. He is the new living way that enables us to pass through the curtain that prevented people from entering the Holy of Holies. So he has become the great priest over all who belong to God's household. Therefore, let us come near to God with true hearts and with great faith, because our hearts have been sprinkled with his blood to cleanse us from all guilt. We can now have clear consciences and be at peace with God. Our bodies are even made clean by receiving the pure living water of the Holy Spirit. So let us not allow anything to distract us from the hope of what lies ahead of us in fulfillment of all he has promised us. For he is faithful in keeping his word. Now, for the next three evenings, we've got a time with the whole of the church here of meeting with the Lord, encountering God. What does that mean? What are we anticipating? What faith do we have that God can honor? Now, the most exciting thing about having three evenings like this is that none of us has got the remotest idea of what's going to happen. That is as it should be. Because if we had anything planned, it would not be encountering God. It would be anything but that. Whatever we do has to be done under the anointing and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God, of course, so he is a genius. And he never needs to repeat himself. He will always do the right thing on the right occasion, in the right way. But, of course, implicit in that is the fact that those with whom he is dealing are truly yielded to his leadership. If we're trying to inject something that we want, then we're going to restrict God rather than enable him to do what he wants this evening and the next two evenings. We used to have a couple of times a year, 5 days on each occasion, to give the church the opportunity to meet with God in the way that we have here. I mean, at the beginning of every term, we have a whole week, and there are other times when we've got the time, the space to do this. But not everybody in the church has those same opportunities. However, that doesn't mean that we are going to the NRC to do our thing and hope that the church joins in, because that's not how God will work. He would do a unique thing that will draw everybody together in unity so that he can move all of us forward in the way that he wants. Now, he's told us that this is a season of kingdom advance, so whatever God is going to do is going to have that as the ultimate goal. He's going to work in such a way as to enable kingdom advance. But we can't say, well, we're going to spend the evenings praying, or we're going to spend the evenings worshiping, or we're going to have the word, or we won't have the word, or we won't have the worship, or we won't have... Because as soon as we say anything like that, we have restricted what the Holy Spirit is going to do. We're really saying, well, Holy Spirit, you can work in this way, but not that way. So we have to be completely open to what the Spirit of God will do on each evening, knowing that he is the master of the unexpected. And that's why it's so exciting to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. As I was praying early this morning, God just reminded me of one or two occasions when we've had times of meeting with God, and of some things he taught us about that whole process. Some years ago, we had a visit from Richard Roberts, who was the son of Oral Roberts. They had gone through a period of transition. Oral Roberts, the younger ones probably have heard of, he's had a great healing ministry 40, 50 years ago, and he's the one who founded the Oral Roberts University. And he'd passed this over to his son and to others, and they were going through a time of acute financial difficulty. Anyway, he was coming to on a tour, a little tour of England, mainly in Pentecostal churches, but we had him for one evening. And knowing that his main ministry was as an evangelist, we'd told everybody to bring their unsaved friends and so on. And at that particular time, we were functioning under a tremendous anointing on the worship. When we had an evening meeting, we would normally worship at least 45 minutes or an hour without any strain. It was worship just flowed. So on this particular evening, we always used to have one of the pastors on the platform, just able to flow in with the in leading the meeting. And the worship was just tremendous. People were meeting with God. Some were on their faces, some were just lifting their hands. But I mean, there was such a flow of worship. And sort of an hour passed, and I couldn't stop it. I thought, wait a minute, this guy, he's going to earn his fare over from America. We can't have him sitting there doing nothing. So I was trying to bring this time of worship to a close, and I couldn't. Just every time I spoke, I mean, the sound of the worship was so great, I couldn't even be heard. So I told all the band to stop playing. But that didn't make any difference because people weren't actually listening to the band. They weren't following the band. They were meeting with God. So this went on, and it got to about an hour and 20 minutes, nearly an hour and a half. So I came off the platform, and Richard Roberts was in the front row. And I just said to him, look, you go on the platform, and as soon as there is a pause in the worship, jump in and start preaching. Now, I was mindful of the fact, you see, we've got all these unsaved people there. And this wasn't exactly the kind of meeting you would expect for unsaved people. So he stood there behind the pulpit for an hour. And he couldn't stop the worship. He couldn't break in. There wasn't any pause. I don't think anybody even knew he was standing there. He stood there for another hour. Eventually, now you must understand, this was not just people worshiping, this was people meeting with God within the context of worship. So finally, everything quietened down. By now it was getting quite late. And we've never had long meetings for the sake of having long meetings. I mean, if the Holy Spirit does something like this, it's fine. So he said, I don't think there's any point in preaching after that. So he just shared a bit of testimony for about 10 minutes. Then he did an invitation for salvation. I thought, wait a minute, at a meeting like this, 28 people came forward and gave their lives to the Lord. Well, that's consistent. Because what I found is, you see, you don't want people responding to a preaching, you want people responding to the Lord. And if in a meeting there is revelation of the Lord, then they're going to respond. God will have done whatever he needed to do in their hearts, because let me tell you, he didn't preach the gospel, he didn't say it, there was no encouragement, there was no, you know, I'm waiting now, there's three more, there's four more. They just came forward immediately. What had been happening? People, even the unsaved that were there, had been encountering God. We didn't go into the meeting with a plan because we were open to the Spirit of God controlling the meetings. But we would at least have anticipated that after about an hour, Richard Roberts would have preached. And that he would have done his evangelistic thing, and et cetera, et cetera. The Holy Spirit just overrode all of that. And he did it his way. The follow-up to that, this, as far as I can recall, this is the only time this has ever happened. When Richard Roberts got back to America, he sent a letter just saying how he had encountered God that night and had had a radical transformation in his life and in seeing how the debt situation that they were facing was to be resolved. And he actually sent a gift of, I think it was $5,000. I think that's the only time anybody's paid us to come and preach. Not that it was really like that, but it was just symptomatic, you see, of the fact that the meeting was in God's hands. And there was no presumption on our part. We didn't presume. We didn't try to force something. I mean, I could see, you know, every time I wanted to stop the worship, I couldn't. But then I was sensitive enough to the Spirit to know, well, just back off. Because God is doing his thing. Now, will it be like that these next three nights? No, of course it won't. At this moment, there isn't the same anointing on the worship that there was there. God is doing something different. Are we going to try to replicate what God did then or any other time? No. There's no point in doing that. Because, you see, if things are in the hands of the Holy Spirit, then he will do something completely new and fresh. The important thing is for us not to presume what that is going to be or what it's not going to be, but to be open for whatever the Spirit of God is going to do. I remember another occasion when Enevald Flaughton from Norway was here. And, you know, the worship was taking off again, and when the anointing came upon Enevold, he would lay hands on anything that moved. Right. And So right in the middle of the worship, he goes on the platform and starts laying hands on all the musicians and singers. And they are just piled up on the platform. There's just bodies lying on top of one another with the singers. They were all out. Did it make any difference to the worship? No, because nobody was taking a blind bit of notice of what was going on. On the platform, they were all encountering God. Now, this scripture that we've just read is about encountering God. It's saying that through the cross, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place in the temple has been rent asunder. So now the Holy of Holies is opened up to us. But if you read the whole of Hebrews, which must be one of the most wonderful books in the New Testament, it shows us that Jesus himself has entered the Holy of Holies, but not in an earthly temple, but the Holy of Holies in heaven. That the Holy of Holies that has therefore been opened up to us through the cross is actually the very throne of God in heaven. Therefore, the writer to Hebrews is saying, draw near to that throne. Come right into the Holy of Holies with sincere hearts and with great faith, with great confidence. That's where you belong. That's where Jesus has made it possible for you to be. Now, that is the place of glory. So what the writer is saying is, come and enter into the glory. The way is opened already into the glory. Now, why? Well, this throne, the writer says, is the throne of grace. Now, grace is what God gives. And when God gives, God blesses. To receive from God is to be blessed by God. Now, there's a strange sort of paradox in the Christian life. We are sons of God. He sees us seated in heavenly places, reigning in Christ. And yet, we are having to become what we are. We are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. In other words, we are becoming more and more what he intends us to be. He can see the end result, because he can see the end from the beginning. But we're in that process of transformation. Now, it's the same with blessing. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You get some clever guys saying, oh, well, I don't need to be blessed. I've already been blessed with everything that God has to bless. Now, on one hand, of course, it's true. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. But like Paul, we have to say, I have not yet laid hold of everything for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. I haven't laid hold of all those blessings. So we need to be blessed. So we can turn to one another and say, you have been blessed. That's surely true. You must be blessed if Christ is in you, if the Holy Spirit is in you, if the kingdom is in you, if you are living in Christ, if you have a rich inheritance, You have been enriched in every way, the scripture says. So you surely have been blessed. And yet, there is a sense in which you need to be blessed. You need to encounter God and receive from Him so that you can enter more fully into that which is yours as part of your inheritance in Christ. In other words, we have to, and we mustn't be afraid of this word, we have to experience what is ours in Christ. Not seeking an experience, but to make real in our experience what God has made available to us in Christ. Now, why has God blessed you? In order to make you a blessing. And God knows that the more He blesses you, the greater blessing you will be to others. So God doesn't mind how much you get blessed. Because He knows that the more you are blessed, the greater blessing you will be. That rivers of living water will flow out of your innermost being. Because you are so full. The more, if you want to put it experientially, the more you are full of Jesus, the more you will overflow with Jesus. The more you are full of the power of the Spirit, the more that power will flow through your life and out of your life and will touch the lives of other people. So our focus is on meeting with God personally. Now, we could spend time praying for the nation, praying for this, praying for that, praying for the other. But actually, we will be, if we use these days to encounter God, we will be a much greater blessing to the nation as a result than if we just spent 3 days in prayer for the nation. We can do that at another time. But these are encounter evenings. Are you understanding me? These are encounter evenings where we encounter God and God encounters us. Now let's turn to the book of Revelation and see for a moment what happens when people encounter God. Because we can enter into this heavenly holy of holies, but the heavenly host is in that place all the time. So, if we look at chapter 4, verse 9. Around the throne, there are the living creatures, there's the 24 elders, and then there's all the heavenly host. It says in verse 9 of chapter 4, whenever the living creatures, now these are the ones that are closest to the throne. They're rather strange creatures, aren't they, in their description. But then perhaps they think we're rather strange in the way we look. But whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to the one who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall before him and place their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power, because you created all things, and it is by your will that they came into existence and were created." Then if you go on to chapter 7, verse 11, all the angels standing around the throne, the elders and their four living creatures, fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing, glory, wisdom, thanks, and honor, power, and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. It shall be so." What do we learn from these scriptures? When you get into that place, you can't stand up. You end up on your face. Now, there are two ways of being on your face before God. One is when you're repenting, you need to get right with God because something has gone seriously wrong. and you're on your face, you're just crying out to God for mercy. Now, I trust that none of us are in that place. In the light of what God has been doing, we don't need to do that this evening or in the next couple of days. Lying on your face just silent means absolutely nothing. It's a recipe for going to sleep. So, you know, just think that something is going to happen to you if you get on your face is a false presumption. It's like saying to God, if I get on my face, you've got to meet with me. But when you have an encounter with God and you can no longer stand on your feet, or you can't even sit on your chair, you are on your face. It's amazing how many Christians, even many anointed ones, they've never known that. They've never been there. Which is sad, because this is the place that Jesus has opened up for us. Now, when that happens, you encounter God. Or let me put it another way. It happens because you've already begun to encounter God. And there have been so many meetings when I've been able to stand on the platform and just see how God has humbled people. Because, you see, when you are faced with the majesty of who God really is, there isn't anything else you can do. If the heavenly host, who are sanctified completely, I mean more holy than we are, experientially, if they can't stand up to praise him in his holiness, we certainly won't be able to. Now, you can have people standing and singing a song, holy, 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 and they're not on their faces, because they're not in that inner sanctuary of his holy presence when they sing the song. You know, the temple, there's really three areas, the outer court, the middle court, and then the inner sanctuary. In the outer court, this is the place of proclamation, where you sing proclamation songs, proclaiming who he is, proclaiming his victory, proclaiming our victory. That's why we get all excited. Yeah! Lots of singing, dancing, rejoicing in the outer court. Then you move into the middle court, where you become aware of the presence of God. But when you move into the Holy of Holies, it's just God. Just God. Now, it's in that place that things happen to you. We could be in the outer court. Yes! We could have three exciting meetings and miss God. We could make a lot of noise, a lot of ballyhoo. We could sing, dance, shout, clap, scream, yell, and miss God. We would feel encouraged at the end of each meeting. But what would be the fruit? It isn't, you see, that we've got to get all serious and somber. Nothing serious and somber about meeting with God. Because you go through the outer court and the middle court into the Holy of Holies. What we don't want to do is get stuck and miss the most important thing that God wants to do. Because that is the place, listen to me, that is the place of grace, of mercy, grace to help us in our time of need. That's the place of release. You can feel happy in the outer court, But you get released from everything that has made you unhappy in the Holy of Holies. The bondages, the things that through prayer you have wanted to see broken, they get broken as you encounter God. Now, how are we going to get there? We don't have to determine that. It would be foolish for us to try to. Because this is the will of God, according to His Word, that's where the Holy Spirit will lead us if we let Him. Hello? That's where He will lead us. Because the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus, leads us to the place where God wants us to be. So all we've really got to do is give ourselves over to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's a personal thing for each one of us. It's a corporate thing for all of us together. But it's not just something for somebody who is leading the meeting to do or to say. It needs to be something in the heart of each one of us. That we're saying, Holy Spirit, lead me to the throne. Lead me to encounter God in His majesty, His glory, His holiness. In other words, Holy Spirit, give me a fresh revelation of God. Now, whenever that happens, your life is marked. Because you now have a greater revelation of who God is. But also something else happens in the process. Having been so yielded to the Spirit is able to work through you in ways that He could not before. And that's the important thing. Years ago when the college began, other people were leading the college because I was traveling virtually all the time. But I was doing lots of missions, crusades and things in those days. And I would take groups of students, and we always aimed that every student would come on one of these missions with me while they were students. And, you know, there was always a response form at the end of the year. What is the thing that has impacted your life most? And it used to upset the leadership in the college, where almost invariably people put the ministry trip with Pastor Colin. Now, the reason for that was not that they were present at great meetings, but we were meeting with God before every meeting, taking the presence, the holiness, the power of God into the meetings. Now, let me just give you a little spiritual secret. Is that all right? There are two things that are very, very closely linked. The presence and the power. The presence of God and the power of God. You see, if you encounter God and you lead a meeting, other people are going to encounter God. If you take the presence of God into a meeting, then the power of God is going to be released during the meeting. You can try to get the Spirit to move in power without that presence. And certain things will happen, but not nearly as much. See, the closer you are to the throne, the closer you are to the source of power. The closer you are to the one who answers prayer. Now, both James and Peter quote the proverb, God gives grace to the humble, but he stands against the proud. Now, let me say something to all of you that I believe we will need to hear about prayer and about our attitude towards God when we pray. Never, ever, ever, ever is there a case for us to be proud before God. Confident, as the scripture says, faith in him, but he is God, infinitely greater than all of us put together. Even though Jesus tells us to pray and call him Father, when Jesus prayed, he called him Heavenly Father, Holy Father, Righteous Father. There was this sense of Jesus during his ministry of absolute awesomeness of God. It's never for us to tell God what to do. Prayer is not telling God what to do. Prayer is being humble before God. I think of some of the great men of prayer that there have been historically, people who have been known as being outstanding people of prayer. People like George Muller, for example, you know, who fed all these hundreds of orphans with nothing. You see, he would be on his knees before God. He wouldn't be pacing up and down saying, Lord, I believe you to provide, you're going to provide, hallelujah, glory. He would be on his knees humbly before God, asking him to supply for all these kids for whom he was responsible. That's the right attitude towards God. Are you there?
Yes.
You see, what that humility expresses is dependence upon God. There was a famous guy known as Praying Hyde. There was one occasion when he was due to be speaking at a meeting. The church was packed. And he was in his digs, wherever he was staying, in prayer. And came to the time of the meeting, and Praying Hyde wasn't there. So the elders of the church decided we must go to his digs and tell him. Everybody's waiting for the start of the meeting. So they go to his digs, and he's not best pleased that he's disturbed in prayer, in his prayer. But he said, well, God is constraining me to pray. I must remain here in prayer. He was on his knees. He was just crying out to God for the salvation of souls. So this threw the elders into a tiz-wars. I mean, what are we going to do? So they said, well, you've got to come. Everybody's waiting for you. He said, I'm not coming. God is telling me to pray. So they go back wondering what on earth they're going to do, what they're going to say to the people. When they got back to the church, revival had broken out. The presence of God had moved in. People were on their faces before God. People were crying tears of repentance. Salvation was coming into people's lives. Why? God was answering the prayer. Because you see, all that is dependent upon God answering our prayer. It doesn't depend upon us. It depends upon obedience to the Spirit. If the Spirit of God was telling him to pray, that's what he needed to do, pray. Not cut short the prayer and go and do what men expected him to do. Are you there? You see, it is obedience to the Spirit of God that is going to prevail in every situation. Now, is there a time for us to be up, aggressive even in prayer? Yes. When we're coming against the enemy. When we're releasing the anointing of God into situations. But that should be after we've prayed. Then we stand up and we proclaim. Otherwise, you see, what you get into is a kind of syndrome where it depends upon us and the way we pray rather than upon him and what he says and what he tells us to do. We all know how to make a noise when we pray, when we worship, but noise doesn't actually do anything in and of itself. It's the dynamic of what God is doing by His Spirit that matters. We're not looking for anything new. See, we're letting the Holy Spirit lead us into what will be new. He's never going to lead us back. He's only ever going to lead us forward. So what we can learn from these things, whether hundreds of years ago with praying Hyde or a few years ago with some of the things I can talk to you about, we can learn from these things. But what they say, you see, is if we want God to raise us up, we have to be humble and stay humble before Him. And not get into the kind of thought, attitude, mindset. If we proclaim it, God will do it. Yes, if we're proclaiming what He is telling us to proclaim. Just remember, even Jesus said, I speak only the words my Father gives me to speak. We can easily get into presumption by proclaiming something that the Holy Spirit isn't telling us to proclaim at that time in that situation. And then it just becomes empty words. It sounds good, but actually it won't bear the fruit. What am I saying? Everything in the Christian life comes out of relationship with the Lord. And that has to be the focus this week. Of strengthening, enlarging our relationship and our dependence upon the Lord. The more dependent we are on Him, the more He will be able to do. It's as simple as that. So humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that in due time He will exalt you. Now that doesn't mean you get on your knees and your face and you weep and you wet the carpet. It's an attitude of heart. It's an attitude of heart. It's an awesome thing even to pray. Can you understand what a great gift prayer is? Where you are able to speak to and hear from the Lord God Almighty, who is your Father. It's an awesome thing. Isaiah. So I was going to say Isaiah says, but actually it's God speaking through Isaiah. What God says there is, I dwell in a high and holy place, but also with those who are humble and contrite in heart. And what we're concerned about, you see, is not just encountering God so we can say, God, they were good meetings. Oh, I didn't half get blessed. But we want our walk with God to be different by Friday. Because our relationship is different. Because God is dwelling with us and in us in a new way, in a fresh way, in the sense that he can express his life more fully through us. But you see, what God says, not Isaiah, what God says is, I dwell with the humble and the contrite in heart. So we don't have to beat ourselves up and say, oh God, we're such a mess. He said, well, now tell me something I don't know. No, we don't have to beat ourselves up like that. We just need to have humble, submissive hearts. See, it's interesting. James says, quotes that Proverbs, God gives grace to the humble, but he stands against the proud. Very next thing he says, submit yourself to God, therefore, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But you see, it's that submit yourself to God. That's the humility. So what does it mean to be humble in this situation as we go forward? To obey the Spirit. You see, what we determine is the soul. What the Spirit determines is the Spirit. And when it's the Spirit of God that is able to work through our spirits and if you like, be in control, be in charge, then God is going to be able to fulfill his purpose. And this is the last thing we just need to get hold of, and we're going to pray. If God hasn't got a plan for these three evenings, let's go and do something different. Because it's going to be a waste of time having the meetings. But of course, the truth is, God has a plan. Now, you learn with a little bit of experience, if God has a plan, don't get one of your own. Because your plan will only restrict and hinder his plan. But the more yielded we are to him, the more he can exercise his plan, the more readily he can exercise his plan. That's all he wants. Responsive people. Pastor Clive preaches often about the importance of response. But you see, if you take the initiative, you're not responding. Hello. Yeah. Jesus. For me, one of the most incredible things about the ministry of Jesus is he never took the initiative. He always left it with the Father. And you would think if anybody had the right to take initiative, it would be Jesus, the Son of God. And he said, no, I speak no words of my own. I don't initiate what I say. I can do nothing of myself. I do only what I see my Father doing. I don't initiate any of my actions. Everything is a dependence upon and a response to my Father. Amazing. But then he explains why. Because I haven't come to do my will, I've come to do his will. I've come to do the will of him who sent me. So it's not for me to decide what to do, what to say, but to leave the initiative in his hands. You see, the Christians that are people of initiative are the humble ones who leave the initiative with God. Can you understand? When he tells us to do something, it often appears as if we're taking the initiative, but we're not if we're doing it in obedience to the leading of the Spirit. It's the Spirit that is taking the initiative, and when the Spirit is allowed to take the initiative, he will do the work. And the purpose of God will be fulfilled. Anybody understand what I'm saying this morning? So what can we do now? Well, all we can do is make a heart response to what God is saying to us through his word. And just be in that place where, as fully as we know how, we are surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Paul actually talks about the Holy Spirit controlling us. See, I want to be possessed.
Come on, that's it.
Not by a demon, I will never be possessed by a demon, but possessed by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the more surrendered I am to him, the more he can possess me. The more he can work through me. The more readily God can do with me what he desires, fulfill the plan and purpose that he has. Now, I believe that God has a very important plan for these next 3 days. And that's why God's laid this word on my heart this morning. Because it isn't really what I would normally be doing on a Tuesday morning. So, this is where we're at. We can forget everything else, all the issues, all the things that confront us, all that we want to see happening as a result. Let's just give God the time for himself. Let this just be a time for him. When we want to bless him, because the measure you give is the measure you get back. If we want to be blessed so we will be a blessing, let's bless God. Just be as fully surrendered and yielded to him as we possibly can so that he can do in us what he wants. However he leads, to respond. When there's prophetic word that he speaks, respond. When we're in prayer, we respond. When we're in worship, we respond. But what we're doing is giving of ourselves wholeheartedly. There's a whole lot of scriptures, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, about seeking God wholeheartedly, with all the heart. Loving God wholeheartedly, with all your heart. That whatever you do wholeheartedly in the name of Jesus. Everything has to be wholehearted. Nothing half-hearted. Nothing partial. Nothing second-rate. So, what then is our focus for these 3 days? Lord, We want you to have a good time. We want you to be blessed, Lord. We want you to be so happy because you have been able to reveal yourself in the way that you want and to do in us what you have chosen to do. We want you to be so pleased because the clay has been so malleable in your hands that you've been able to form us into what you want us to be. Will all that happen in 3 days? No. But I believe that what God is going to do is initiate, he's going to initiate the next phase, which is going to lead to kingdom advance. But you see, what I believe God is saying is the kingdom advance is not going to happen by us trying to get the kingdom to advance, but by coming to a greater dependence upon the Lord, and he will cause his kingdom to advance. Amen? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, mighty God. What a wonderful Lord. Paparazata parasita pa. The scripture says, so our faces are not covered or veiled, but we are all able to reflect the Lord's glory. Amen. The more that glory is revealed in us, excuse me, the more that glory is revealed in us, the more like him we become. So this glory that comes from the Lord is continually increasing in our lives because the Spirit of glory lives in us. Come on, let's just lift our hands and our hearts to the Lord and thank him for that Spirit of glory. Thank him that we're going to encounter him in his glory. And Holy Spirit, we ask that in these evening meetings, you lead not only us, but all who will be there, the whole company of your people, that you will lead us to encounter you in your glory. That it will be as if we come face to face with you, Lord. That you will strip away from us anything and everything that is not glorious, and that you will release, you will increase the manifestation of your glory in our lives personally and in Kingdom Faith corporately. That, Lord, there will be more of your glory that we can take into the nation, that you will be glorified among your people. And we just give you all the honor and praise, Lord. Hallelujah. Sutta para zata bakara sutri sati. Bapara zatari. So, Lord, we humble ourselves before you right now. And we acknowledge that apart from you, we can do nothing. And Lord, we don't want to take the initiative into our own hands. We want to leave it in your hands. Thank you that you will rule and you will overrule during this time so that your will, your way, your purposes can be fulfilled. And we bless you. We glorify your holy name. We magnify you, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that we are joining in with the whole company of heaven that is already in that holy of holies, the heavenly place of your sanctuary, of your presence. And we just give you the honor, Lord. Oh, Father, Father, Father. How we hunger after you, Lord. How we long for more of you. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let there be that longing. Let there be that yearning. Let there be that desire in our hearts that only you can satisfy. That there'll be a new hunger, a new thirst within us that only you can fulfill. Oh, hallelujah. Now you just make your own personal response to the Lord. Don't stand there silent. Just talk to the Lord and say whatever you believe you need to say to respond to His word, to prepare for your heart for what God wants to do. Not what you want Him to do, but what He wants to do. Just be sure that you're going into these evenings wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. That there's no reservations, there's no holding back, there's no conditions. You're not laying any conditions upon the Lord as to what He's to do or how He's to do it. You're open for Him to surprise you. Hallelujah. Now, this is important. Just agree with God that you're not looking for feelings and experiences and things like that. You're just looking for an encounter with Him. Now, when people encounter Him, some have experiences and some don't. But what happens is you get transformed within. So let's all agree that God will bring about further transformation within us that we may be a greater blessing. Hallelujah. But He will do it in the right way for each one of us, that none of us is going to compare ourselves with others or what's happening with others or think that it's God's got to meet with us in the same way that He meets with this one or that one. Just thank God He's going to do a totally unique thing in you that is absolutely right for you. Thank you, Jesus. Sotapa razatapariya leto bakara sitapa. Balatapariya leto bakara sitari sanda. He dwells in a high and holy place, but also with the humble and the contrite in heart. Just thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus, that you live with me, that you live in me, that you can express your life through me. Praise your wonderful name. Thank you, Lord. It doesn't depend upon me. It depends upon you, Christ. In me, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Thank Him that He's going to transform you from glory to glory this week. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. 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 Peter says, God pours all His grace upon you because He has called you to know His glory eternally through your unity with Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Pora taparia zato bakala sitiri santo. Oh, wonderful Lord. Come on, let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Korata paria zituba. Ora la bazata para zituri sato bakala zituri sanduma. Bora la bazata riele bakara zituri sanduma. Pura la basuturi satari le roba carasitri sanduma. Ora la basata pari le tuba carasita ba. Yes, we bless you, we praise you, we honor you, we glorify you. Mighty, wonderful, glorious King. What a wonderful Jesus. What a wonderful Savior. Hallelujah. Sara basituri satari eleroba karasitaba. Oh, mamara salamazuturi satari eletuba karasitaba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Puparazata pari eletuba karasitaba. Balandari eletu bakarasituri satu baladundama. Brondari esitu. Come on, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Puparazataya. Oh. Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. You are the Lord of glory. We honor you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Mighty Lord, mighty King. Karati parazatu bakarasito ba. Hora la basata barati parazatu ba. Balandari eleno mazatu parasitu di satu bakarasino ma. Brandari esitu di satari eletu bakarasitu di sanduma. Barandari eletu bakarasitu di satu bakarasundama. Thank you, Jesus. There was an old Pentecostal chorus. Here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. But just take that phrase, wholly available. Wholeheartedly available. For you to work in me, Lord, what you want to do during this time. And we pray for all our brothers and sisters in Christ, all the members of the church that will be there sharing in this time with us and we with them. Lord, we pray that everyone will come with that expectant, wholehearted attitude, that there will be a great openness of spirit, a real yieldedness to you, so that you can move easily, that there'll be nothing difficult, nothing sort of tough, that it won't be as if there's resistance that has to be broken down. But we thank you, Lord, for that breakthrough apostolic anointing that sweeps aside all resistance, and that by your Spirit you make the way plain. You go before us. And we thank you that there's going to be an ease about this time. Hallelujah. We just pray, Lord, for sensitivity on all who are going to be responsible in any way under the direction of your Spirit for the conduct of the meetings. We thank you, Lord, that what you have planned, as we surrender ourselves to you, you will do. Thank you that you have prepared good things for us to walk in during these days. And we praise you, Lord. We bless you. And thank you, Lord, that kingdom advance lies beyond these days. With all the harvest and abundance that you have promised. And we just see these days as a really significant step towards the fulfillment of everything that you want to do through Kingdom Faith in this season. And we praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just thank the Lord now. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.